96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Takes thousands of raindrops just to make a bucket full. It takes billions of tiny rays to make a sunny day. The raindrops feed the flowers, the sunshine makes them grow. It's all part of a plan God started long ago.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. If you hear a little frog in my throat, Eddie Minnis caused that. He caused that. The concert was wonderful. The concert was a time, and I get it now, right? I get the concept, the construct of like the Legends concert. There were multiple generations of Bahamians at that concert, and they all had their own like intersection with Eddie Minnis, right? We all have our own moment and memory of being introduced to Eddie Minnis's music. The song we started the show with just now is from Eddie Minnis's album, and he performed it on Saturday night, no matter how small. Now, here's why I started the show with that song in particular. No matter how small, this song should be adopted by the Ministry of Education, Technical and Vocational Training. And you guys, we need to play this song every day at the beginning of school, right? The same beneficial experience I had as a child of being inundated with positive Bahamian music, in particular Get Involved by Dr. Off, entrenched in me a sense of community responsibility and volunteerism, even though at the time I couldn't articulate it. I would not have been able to say to you, this is who I would be in the future. And our young Bahamians deserve that same opportunity for development through a cultural, social space that we older generations carefully and meticulously curate for them. Not just that, producer, we could go to the phone line. We could start, but not just that. I want young artists like Overdose and Bahamian Trey and then Shine and Johnny Cake, and even the older ones like Avi and Stilleen, and the older ones like Funky D and Gino D, and the ladies like Mello D and D the Entertainer and Vividly Val, right? And Lady E and Victoria Bodine, we need you guys to, in the same way that Overdose remade Red Shirt, to let's produce versions of it. In fact, I got a whole project idea. We need to pair a school with a local musician for them to produce a cover or a remake or remix of this song, No Matter How Small, by Eddie Minnis. All right, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Good. I just want to give my condolences to Mr. Mello, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. We can take a moment for that, of course.
Yeah, you know, I'm here in the Tampa Bay area. You know, if you get ready for this storm to hit, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I think we're going to get a direct hit here, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just bunkering down, you know, and I want to go to Orlando, but, you know, the cone is so wide. No matter where you go, you go north, you go south, you go east, you know, we go, you know, people on the beach, like I say, you pay a price for paradise, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So people just cleaning up from the last storm, and we going to get a direct hit, man. So, you know, y'all just keep us in your prayer, man, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Yeah, y'all be safe there in the 242.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And we will continuously pray and keep open arms for everyone in the path of the storm, including our diasporic brothers and sisters, our Bahamians abroad. That led me to a thought just now, Mr. Newry. This can be the first hurricane season in a long time without a Darrell Miller to do a public broadcast. I want to talk just for a second. Don't look at me like that, sir. I'm supposed to be looking at you like that. Don't look at me like that.
What channel would he have been on? Because certain news channels I don't listen to. So I haven't heard him in years. Like,
well,
I
know, we know that he retired from ZNS, right?
Okay.
From broadcasting. But I imagine that a Darrell Miller would be a media personality that would have been engaged, like contracted, to work a hurricane or an election, even though he's no longer in a formal...
Perhaps it's your social network. My social network is mostly social media. So, no, I wouldn't have listened to him, no.
You would have been tuning in via social media to various podcasts, right?
Yeah.
There's this thing called the Darrell Miller effect.
Okay.
I mean, it's a thing. I call it the Darrell Miller effect. In 2003, the summer of, and spring of 2003, I was in Fresh Creek Andrus working and living. That was the summer of the major blackout in New York City. And after spending a lot of time... Everybody was watching the blackout. You know, this thought came to mind because it was Darrell, like we were cutting in between Darrell Miller and the American feed on the blackout, that Darrell Miller at that time was perhaps the most trusted voice across the archipelago of the Bahamas, right? And I call it the Darrell Miller effect. And I... Even at that time, I argued that if Darrell Miller ran for a seat, it's likely that he would win it practically anywhere except for a couple of seats that are very particular. But that the party that would have run Darrell Miller at that time would have secured that seat because of the degree of trust, right? Like the sense of relationship that developed between Darrell Miller and his audience, particularly the audience on 1540, right? That broad span. And then I realized that at that time, Bahamians heard Darrell Miller's voice every day, talking about issues that affected them every day. They heard his voice more than they heard their own prime minister's voice. They had more conversation with him than they had with their own prime minister, their own MP, their own leaders in their own country. And at that time, that man could have run and won a seat practically anywhere in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You know, I call that the Darrell Miller effect, you know?
He was definitely a social icon.
There's a benefit, right? Like there's a value in being on the airwaves. And what comes with it is a responsibility, a duty of care, an obligation to your audience. So many things, arise in that space. But I think the one thing I want to talk about right now is that with our proximity to the U.S. and our vulnerability and susceptibility to cultural imperialism, right? We have to interrogate all of the systems and cultures that evolve and develop here, in particularly this thing called like celebrity personality politics, right? And celebrity culture. Because for a moment, Darrell Miller was the most popular person in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Yes.
And toward the end of his life and at the end of his life to discover that he died in this way with what appears to be no one checking for him. And so a moment for us to examine who we are and who we have become. How could someone who brought so much joy to so many people fizzle away from this earth with barely a cry, and if there was, none of us heard it. How does that happen?
I think it happens because life is lifing. The majority of behemoths are busy trying to survive. We have our immediate network who we take care of, who we are struggling to provide for.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have time, energy, enough money, supplies to take care of, to add on another responsibility of others.
I understand that. Financial pressure, stress, and in some instances, crisis, which generates or creates in some instances, a psychological crisis. The pressures of being a provider, minor dependents, elderly dependents, obligations, college fees, insurance, mortgages. Are my parents willing to change the way that they live entirely so that I could reduce my cost to paying one mortgage? Even if it increases my personal mortgage, right? One mortgage. You know, all of these things that people have to are dealing with constantly. At the same time, though, Nuri, a real country, see the difference between a nation and a country, right? A nation is a political construct. It got a constitution and it have these rules, right, and regulations. A country is a collection of people. And we should, in a similar way, we should have our social contracts and our social systems and our cultural elements, right? We should have systems in place for us to, I mean, this technical, efficiently and effectively, right? For us to, in a healthy way, deal with aging, deal with death, deal with loss. And I don't think that we have focused on creating a country to the same extent that we have focused on creating a nation.
And I hear the critique. I embrace the critique. And I think that it's called a social safety net.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure who creates the social safety net, whether it's a government issue or private sector or
civil society.
You say, well, you can come and join us and then we will make sure that you be safe.
Yeah.
End quote.
Let's stick a pin, producer. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. Turn your radio down, please.
Hello.
Good morning. Turn your radio down.
Mark, how you doing there?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, first and foremost, I'd like to say my condolences to Don Miller and his family, and, you know, rest in peace, the true funding and icon of our country. You know, he'd be greatly missed.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to point on out is something that you said as far as a country and a nation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we are looking at the ramifications of capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is the case, maybe we'll look at the social effect that it's having on us, creating this individualism that is at the forefront of our mind,
mm-hmm.
that deteriorates social consciousness. And if that is the case, we would then have to now look at it from the perspective of how, is it possible to even slow it down now? And let's extrapolate on what the Bahamas would look like in the next 10 years, where we aren't teaching the history, the true history. We aren't teaching the culture. And there is no, like your co-host said, who is the champion this cause?
Mm-hmm.
I like to look at it like this. In any country, to have a country or a nation, what you truly need is a group of people who have dignity and integrity and who balances the people who only desire money and see money as the only and the most important thing. And if we don't have those social icons and those social champions and those pundits and activists, what you will see continue to happen is an erosion of your social consciousness because of the vicious cycle of capitalism.
Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much. You know what you left me with just now? Capitalism could grow a nation, but it will surely destroy a country.
And I hear that critique again, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know you have, as an advocate, you have very strong opinions about capitalism in general,
mm-hmm.
right? But our destiny has already been determined that Big Brother is coming to police us in general. We have watched dystopian movies all our lives, and we know that socialism will win at the end. You won't belong to yourself. There won't be no individualism. Big Brother will be policing you in the future. I'm not sure if people are ready for that as yet. Our police force continues to ask us to allow them to see their personal CCTV of our house.
Mm-hmm.
And behemoths continue to push back saying, no, we want to be individuals, right? We want to, end quotes, want to experience the capitalism longer. We want that social construct of you policing us all the time. So I hear the critique, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hear the critique about capitalism and what we should be doing. But communities are formed by individuals. If you as an individual cannot form a community or family amongst your neighbors, then the problem is you. The problem can't be the government.
That's a great place of tension, because I agree with you. There are elements of capitalism that I think are vital for not just for the Bahamas small island developing state construct at this time, but globally, right? There is a balance between individualism and collectivism, right? If that's the correct term, using it loosely, collectivism. But like you say, individuals, right, start communities. Individuals start things. And so how do we balance that? How do we create a space where people can feel free as an individual, but also recognize entirely their inherent commitment or connection to the whole? Here's a text. Our sense of community and culture is shattered. The Reinhardt Hotel collapse is another example of how we lack community and vision for our cultural treasures. But I tell you, it's about a lack of spatial awareness as well, right? A lack of sense of proximity to the Reinhardt Hotel and the reason it was created and the things that happened there, because of a lack of history talk and sharing of stories. The vast majority of us don't know the importance of the Reinhardt Hotel. We don't know who sought shelter there, who sought medical service there. We don't know, not the majority of us, right? And that's how it can crumble into nothing, because it has been lost from the collective consciousness. Another very important conversation. There's another thing I want to touch on before we sort of move to another subject. At the same time, if you would like to call in and give a tribute to Daryl Miller today, please feel free to do so. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Family Island listeners. I'd love for Family Island listeners to call in as well. And if they want to share their connection with Daryl as like a 1540 AM listener.
Let me put this to you. A politician,
mm-hmm.
upon hearing Daryl Miller's death,
mm-hmm.
As they grieved,
mm-hmm.
right? We all grieve. People start posting pictures, whatever it is, and say you'll be missed. The post was, "We failed you, Daryl Miller." And I was concerned, like, using that loosely, because it wasn't really concerned. I said, okay, I'm not sure who you mean by we.
Yeah.
Can't be meaning me, right?
Or me.
Say, we failed you, Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They later take it down because people start critiquing what you mean by we, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did mean you failed him, you know? And my question is duty of care. Because of his celebrityism, loosely, mm-hmm. put in quotes, right? Do I owe him a duty? It's his first service.
Yeah.
Do I owe him a duty of care to say, I need to check on him or I need to take care of him besides the normal gratuity that he gets, pension that he gets and the thank you and the plaque.
All right. Let's go to the phone line and we get back to that point because I want to contribute on that as well. Good morning, caller.
My name is Green.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Blessings.
On this very sad occasion, I want to extend my condolences to the family of the late Darren Miller. A lot of people may not know or realize how involved Darren would have been in the promotion and production of the entertainment and cultural industries. You may recall at one time he had a show called The Shining Star, I believe it was, that emanated from the Nassau Beach Hotel, where I worked with him very closely on producing that show. It was like a Bohemian Idol type show. It was a wonderful, wonderful production. And many young artists got the opportunity to showcase themselves during that period. He was also very much involved with the popularity and exposure and promotion of Elon Musk's musical career.
Okay.
He and Elon were very close, and he did a number of projects with Elon Moxie. In addition to that, always promoted culture and entertainment whenever he had the opportunity on his various shows. It is sad that we have to memorialize him this way. I think the whole nation knew that he may have been having some health challenges lately. And as previous callers have said, you know, we wait until people have passed on before we do these kinds of things. It's truly not good for us as a nation. And we need to do better. And, you know, Ms. Green, people like yourself and Mr. Nuri, who are very much involved with the development of our cultural expressions, and you have the airwaves, perhaps maybe on a regular basis, as you normally do, I believe, sometimes you have cultural shows during the week. We need to emphasize more the importance of the role that these iconic figures play in molding and directing our people. And I believe and I submit, if we focus more on the cultural and athletic development of our young people, it will certainly have a tremendous impact on the level of criminality in our country. Because as you know, being an artist, when you're in the artistic field, artists seem to be much, much more patient and disciplined and tolerable and acceptance of people for who they are and what they are and whatever they do. So I take this opportunity on this very sad occasion to jerk the chains of those in authority to focus more on the development of our cultural heritage, our traditions, the old traditions of the Bahamas, where thank you and yes, sir, and no, sir, and no, ma'am, and yes, ma'am, and good morning. These things we are losing. I pass people on the street now, and you'll say good morning or good afternoon. They look at you like you're crazy. This is in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
This was not days before. This used to be when we would have traveled. But you do it now, and even young people, you pass them, and you say good morning, and they think you're trying to attack them or something. So we need to get back to the basics of who we are as Bahamians. And once again, may his soul rest in eternal peace.
Thank you, caller. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning.
Blessings.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to hear from Mr. Munnings. Blessed Mr. Munnings. You know, the gentleman I called, the young gentleman I called you previously, talked about individualism, capitalism, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
Enough respect, brother. I can't see anyone disagreeing with what he's saying. I always listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's well poised. He always makes sense, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've not been saying the same thing he's been saying, but I'm saying it in different ways. When I was talking about individualism, even before the pandemic, in which an individual didn't have any rights, and the collective overrode the rights of an individual. And so you see where in a society we have a situation in which an individual doesn't have any say. You would always hear me on the radio for years saying a sheep in the north, a sheep in the west, et cetera, shouting individually would achieve nothing. And so as it relates to capitalism, there's capitalism in which governments control the companies, and then there's situations in which capitalism, which countries influence governments. And we know this, right? And so when we look at, I forget to say that I actually was introduced to Mr. Darren Miller by Shane Gibson's brother years ago. And I just always heard him on the radio. So my condolences to him. And he was very sociable, very easy to engage and have conversations with. You know, he was never that type of person to play cute and all that. So, but I commented on what the gentleman said because it hurts me to see that Darryl was sick and nobody knew it. Nobody mentioned anything. Nobody said, well, let's start a GoFundMe. Let's do this. Bring consciousness to his sickness and support. Maybe that in itself may help a person live longer. You understand what I'm saying, Eric?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we have this form of individualism that is really destroying us. And so as I want to refer to something that Mr. Nui said as far as sense of community, which is very important. You know, I live in the inner city. I'm not always living in the city. And I see the changes in the demographics. And so Mr. Nui must bear that in mind, that we haven't studied the effects of migration as a result of community, the disunity within the community as a result of migration. I go to my Haitian human friends and I buy with them and expect, et cetera, et cetera. But you have a lot of new migrants and you don't know them. So there's a sense of disunity and a sense of a parallel society being created.
And
so
hold on, 52, we also talk about internal migration and the vacuums that were created when the first generations of professional Bahamians in an independent Bahamas were encouraged to grow the island and the country by moving into the suburbs, right? And the vacuums that were created by an unconcerted, right, and a non-strategic internal migration and resettlement, they created vacuums. And those nature abhors a vacuum, right? And so we also didn't create programs to assimilate and socialize new residents into communities, not just say, hey, you come into the Bahamas.
Aaron,
now
the thing is, I don't want to finish this.
They
must be willing to integrate. You highlighted this, but it's amazing that you said this, because when I listened to Scoogey's show, I didn't get to call in, but actually Scoogey was talking about empowering the inner city. So what happens then with this, because we have done exactly what you have said, then we don't only the Chinese and migrants realize that most of the money is made in the inner city. So this is why you see they set up stores, because the inner city has numbers. So I knew this from sales. So we have actually disenfranchised ourselves, even though most of us rent, maybe we have sold things. But people coming in, you don't know their background. You don't know if it's drug money, whatever they spend and they buy it. So basically everybody's just focusing on the Bahamian. But as it relates to Darryl Miller, it's something that Mr. Mitchell said when he made a comment on Darryl Miller. He said he came from good stock, which is nothing bad, but it reminded me of eugenical statements. Perhaps, you know, Mr. Mitchell is well read. And so that particular word disturbed me because it's a European, it's eugenic, it's racial, it's racism in a sense. What you mean by good stock? Everyone comes from good stock. That type of psychology shows me that it's in his mind. Everybody's from good stock. This is why we discredit and treat one another the other way. When we have this European concept of good stock, bad stock, it's actually a historical, eugenical word. And so even as it relates to the conversation with Mr. Strong this morning with AI, I wanted to juxtapose transhumanism with that, but he cut me. And so what you need to do is, in order to enlighten the masses about real conversations about transhumanism, AI, the lady on the show, she was well-learned, but she didn't know what brain cells were. But it doesn't mean anything, but because I knew what it is, because I follow these things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have to be able to educate the public on the dangers of transhumanism and the godless narrative that they're pushing. So I'll send you something that I got off Google, like I sent you something about the biological digital versus mRNA vaccines.
52, thank you very much. I want to do a show on transhumanism as well, you know, because I like the idea of living longer with greater mobility and function. But what if I have to rely on BPL to charge up my eye? What's going to happen then? It's something we need to talk about. Anyway, we're going to a break because lunchtime is the best time in school time, and I imagine that's why this rumor is going around that the teachers at one of these government high schools is charging students $1 to go on the field for recess. They hear the song, Eddie Minnis.
Capitalism.
We need a new song. Anyway, we coming right back, going to a break. Thank you very much for your contribution. 52, stay tuned. On the Clock, we'll be right back. And straight to the bakery, slam bam bam, slam bam bam. We got to be the first on the line, or we don't get served till next lunchtime. Oh, slam bam bam, slam bam bam, slam bam. One small loaf of bread and a quarter pound of sausage, slam bam bam.
bam bam, slam bam bam. One Pepsi Cola to wash it all down. Then we go play on the garden.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Good morning and welcome back. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Joining me this morning is Mr. Newry. And before we transition, and we are going to transition, first a text. The text said, good morning, Erin. You're going to need a backup generator. Who's like, is that KB? KB's backup generator? Anyway, somebody know. Somebody know. It's usually the musicians, right? Freddie Munnings talked about it in the culture. It's the musicians that drive it. Somebody did know what I was going to need in the future. But Newry, you asked that question, do I owe, or did I owe Daryl Miller a duty of care? When you hear the term, we failed you, Daryl Miller. I just want to say that when I heard the news, I was taken aback. I had to sit down. I was doing something. I was in a rush, ready to go, trying to go somewhere, get out the house, and I had to stop. It sent my whole day back. I had to stop for a moment. Even I felt the weight of his death, right? Our collective loss. And I have a duty of care to Daryl Miller. As a media host, I think it would have been foolish of me to not reference his passing, to not talk about it, and to not create a space for other people to talk about their relationship with Daryl Miller. At the same time, I also owe a duty of care to other people, right? Like, I owe a duty of care to the individual who was the victim in, or the alleged victim in a case that brought Daryl Miller before the courts, mm-hmm. right? A case of with charges of sexual violence, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? And so I also owe a duty of care to that person. I owe a duty of care to myself. I'm saying it intentionally. I know that it will appear to be controversial to some people, but Daryl Miller was a lively and provocative man, eh? I was unfortunately brought into Daryl Miller's life by Daryl Miller himself when he accused me of being a part of, if not the leader of, a conspiracy to destroy him. You know, and the people around me don't take him seriously. Right? We do have a duty of care to Daryl Miller because he's one of us, right? The duty of care may vary depending on who you're speaking to or their relationship with him. But we have a duty of care to memorialize the man and not the memory. To commemorate his life and not our memory of his life, the things that happened. And we need to start being authentic and real and truthful and honest and accountable. And we have to document the whole story, not just a part of the story. See, because in our society, we always have to have a space for sympathy and empathy. We always have to have a space for rehabilitation. In our hearts, we always have to hold, even if only a tiny, tiny space, that it is possible that someone may be rehabilitated or rehabilitate themselves. It doesn't mean that we have to live with them, we have to love them, we have to like them, but we acknowledge that it is possible. And as a part of the collective, we have a duty of care to maintain a space where people can rehab themselves, with or without us, right? Plenty duties of care. Well, let's go to the phone line, and then we're going to transition to another subject. Absolutely. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron, and to your co-host.
Morning, sir.
You remember the straw fire?
Yeah, nobody could forget that.
Nobody forget that. Another thing. The only station I used to listen to say Hurricane Passing is Dara Miller on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something, Aaron, right now.
Mm-hmm.
You had Kelsey Johnson, Charles Carter, Ed Bettle, and Mr. Smith, and Mr. Jones. The whippersnappers today do not know our family island's settlements. Dara can name every settlement in every island in this country.
Mm-hmm.
The radio broadcasters today, they don't know our family islands.
I thought Foxtown was in Johnson Road, because that's where all the foxes I know live.
And see, and when Hurricane Dara could have tell you, be prepared. It is coming here. It is coming there. It is going to him and Mr. Jones, when those two on together, and when Kelsey Johnson and Ed Bettle and Ed Smith was to be on together, I mean, you got a history in your behavior settlement. If you didn't know where they were, after they finished, you would have get it. And like I said, Mr. Jones now, because you done had Kelsey Johnson gone, Ed Bettle gone, only Mr. Jones now left the ambassador. There's no other talk host in this country, radio personality. These young folks today, they do not. Would you agree with me?
I'm telling you, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I can't be in the Senate yet.
You're being honest, because it is sad. You mentioned some of these places, they don't know Hartsville. Some of them don't know Hartsville. It is sad. And they want to tell me they want to be radio hosts. When Hurricane Passing, they want, and they don't know, even the foreigners know better than some of them.
Yes, sir.
But he will be surely missed. And surely missed. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Miss Nuri, just one quick story. I was at an agribusiness expo, and this gentleman came up to me, and he basically said, you into gay rights and I ain't into gay rights. You can sell me this lemonade or what? Like, right, he's establishing the terms. Like, you have the right to not sell me the lemonade, but you can sell it to me or what? And I appreciated that. It made me laugh, right? I sell him the lemonade, and he had his wife with him, and Daryl Miller walked past, and his wife was like, oh my God, my two favorite radio personalities in the same place at the same time, I need a picture. I look at Daryl Miller, because I tell him I would never take a picture with Daryl Miller after what he said as he walked outside of the Supreme Court with his Bible in his hand. But I had to take the picture.
You took the picture?
Of course.
You different from me.
Because the woman changed the moment.
You different from me.
The woman was creating community.
You different
from me. And I wasn't going to fight that. So I took the picture. I was going to fight that. She's trying to create community. I say, what if it's God? What if it's God trying to create community in this little space right now?
What a face of judgment.
All right. I got a text here. You are totally out of order for mentioning Daryl Miller's case. It's his case. You, Texer, you even said it was his case.
Yeah.
How I could be out of order? This is a time of mourning, and I would like to take this time to admonish your behavior. Well, Texer, I'm glad I could share the space with you. Daryl Miller also, up until, in colorful ways, he engaged critique, and I engage yours as well. All right, Mr. Nuri, it's time to transition. We got some headlines I want to touch on quickly, and just like that, do you have my Tribune?
No.
I need to find my Tribune.
I remember you picked it up.
I picked it up, Mr. Nuri.
You must have left it outside.
Traffic fatality. Man killed on killed in traffic fatality on West Bay Street. We're looking at today's Guardian. A motorcyclist was killed in a traffic accident early Sunday morning on West Bay Street, police said. The accident, which involved two motorcyclists, happened after 4 a.m. in the area near Arowaki, police said. One of the motorcyclists was traveling east on West Bay Street and the other was heading west when they collided. The impact of both cycles led to one of the operators sustaining severe injuries. EMS personnel transported him to the hospital where he remains in critical condition while the other succumbed to his injuries on scene, police said.
You have a lot of traffic incidents nowadays.
Yes, Mr. Newry, the traffic accidents, severe traffic accidents,
and deaths,
and traffic fatalities have increased and continue to increase. And I think that there is a link to the lack of traffic enforcement. Not just the lack of traffic enforcement, but the devolution, right, of driving culture. The things I saw this weekend, the things I saw people in red plates doing on the highway this weekend, so deep in their phones that they didn't realize that there's now a 10-car gap in between them and the car in front of them. I want to make this important note. At this point in time, I have not been able to find any media story or crime report or report from the Royal Bahamas Police Force that indicates the name of the young man who was the victim in the traffic fatality on West Bay Street by Go Slow Bend on September
9th. Mind you, I've seen other traffic fatalities recently.
Yes.
One recently in terms of another motorbike fatality, and they mentioned their name.
Right, because in that particular story, the family of the victim was indicating that the death has not been classified yet, even. Yeah. And they also want the bike to be returned. And it is not unreasonable to speculate or to infer that the bike in and of itself or the removal of the bike from the scene may link us to the motive, right, for the accident. We don't know if it was an intentional attempt to kill him. We have no idea. As again, the death has not been classified yet. What I do know is the name of the mother of the young man that died on September 9th. Her Facebook name, her social media name is Precious Sweeting. And I do know that she indicated that the funeral was to take place this Saturday, October 5th, that just passed.
There seems to be a number of hit and runs also.
Yeah.
I'm very much concerned on how can you knock down somebody.
Two recent stories.
And leave the person there to die.
Right. The story on Madera Street where the gentleman, I think his last name is Russ Doyle, his name is Doyle Russell, who lived on Madera Street or off Madera Street, was found in the road. I think after they are seeking the assistance of the driver of a red vehicle. In that matter, also we had a story of a gentleman in a wheelchair who appears to have been who appears to have succumbed from a traffic incident as well, and we await word on that. I saw an image, Mr. Newry, of a red car on a dual carriageway somewhere in New Providence, and the people who shot the video were saying that the car, like, they tore through all of the trees in the median. The car looked like a transformer, picked it up and crushed it in its hand. Also, I saw another video of an incident that is purported to have taken place on Gladstone Road via the person shooting the video, where after a collision involving a vehicle that was overtaking caused one of the cars to ignite and burst into flames. And on my way to Wine and Art this weekend, Mr. Newry, as I was approaching the Eastern Road from Johnson Road, right, waiting for traffic to clear for me to enter the Eastern Road, two vehicles passed me, and then the third vehicle had its turn signal on to turn up Johnson Road. The vehicle behind him started overtaking before he even initiated the turn. I was stunned to then see a white vehicle who had obviously overtaken at least two or three vehicles coming up quickly behind the black car. And that's when I realized that the black car that was overtaking was totally unaware of the white car behind him because he was deep in his phone. Mm. I mean, he might as well have just taken a dive. He just dive right into the phone. How deep his face was in the phone. It was very frustrating to watch that while I was on my way to work and try and make some money. But it seems that we don't care about other people's economies. We only care about our own. I also want to say good morning to a Mr. Mobile Mechanic. I got caught up in police were transporting prisoners to court this morning. Mm-hmm. The three vehicles in front of me, I cannot understand why they didn't hear the sirens or why they felt there was no need for them to pull over. I pulled my car off the road as far as I could, but I was hindered because of the vehicles in front of me that just didn't want to move. So my car would have gotten hit because the cars in front of me didn't want to move. You know what blowing my horn caused this morning at the cars to indicate to them, let's please get off the road so we don't die? Mm-hmm. It caused a gentleman, a driver of a small white Mobile Mechanic van, to get upset. I just had this flash in my head, Mr. New. You could imagine him going to the police station. I even pressed charges on that Miss Green, mm-hmm. and the officer asked him why. Because she blew her horn at me. Mm-hmm. Okay, but what you mean? I mean, she upset me. She blew her horn at me. And so I decided not to drive my car anymore. What do you mean you can blow your horn at me? And so I just sat in the road for forever, because how dare you blow your horn at me? I would like to be a fly on the wall. I want to know, is that what they go to the police and say, yeah, officer, here's what happened, right? I was running the stop sign, and I almost hit her, right? Because she didn't stop her car, even though I was running the stop sign, and she blew her horn at me. And she wouldn't stop blowing her horn. I could be honest with you. I was so upset. I stopped my car and I jumped out my car to do her something. And you need to do something with her because she likes to blow her horn at people. I just want to be in the room when you find the audacity to tell a police officer that. That you upset to the point where you pressed charges because somebody blew their horn at you while you was breaking the law. Like, why wouldn't you just let me break the law in peace? The next time I can let you break the law in pieces, just once a day, me, you break into pieces. Okay, Mr. Newry, we got, let's read these texts here. Aaron, I'm convinced at this time that the young man who was hit by the black SUV with a government plate seems to be a government cover-up. Well, texted, would be easy to speculate that, but we notice a pattern of behavior with a lack of information being released around certain cases. We can't say that it's a cover-up, nor can we say that, I mean, we can't determine specifically that it's a cover-up because it's more likely just another example of a complete and total administrative failure. Considering the events during and after the accident, the family needs clarity and justice. The police forget that 2,000 people watched the Facebook Live of the event. That's it right there, but you be careful. Next thing you know, they're going to spend more time petitioning Facebook to take down the video than they will ensuring that crime reports are posted properly and regularly and for every day. Another text. Good morning, Lady Green. The traffic fatalities are alarming. We have a duty of care when driving a vehicle as well as traffic education. We need more duty of care when driving a vehicle and we need more traffic education as well. I just want to know when do y'all keep having these meetings. When did y'all have the meeting and tell the taxi union that they not held by the same laws on the road? When y'all had the meeting and tell people they could run stop signs? With impunity. Yesterday, Mr. Newry, as I was coming up Soldier Road, I watched this car slide out of one of those corners on the east, Soldier Road North, to go north on Soldier Road. And I mean, they just slid out the corner, and I realized they were not increasing their speed over 10 miles an hour. They never stopped at the stop sign. I overtook them. Listen, whoever let their great Grammy, get inside that car at the age of 85, y'all, I rebuke you. Hell is hot, and if your Grammy wants to go and buy some weed and you don't go buy it for something, man. Don't let her get in the car and go buy it herself. Whatever she's going to go do in that car, y'all go make sure she could do it. Y'all take her. Mom does not need to be driving. Anyway, Mr. Nuri, I just got one more producer. If you bear with me, I have one more story I need to read into the record. Man accused of molesting 8-year-old girl. This is from Friday, October the 4th, 2024. A 26-year-old man was remanded into custody on Friday after he was accused of molesting an 8-year-old girl in New Providence sometime in 2022. Senior Magistrate Anishka Isaacs arraigned Kirkwood Roll on unlawful sexual intercourse charges. Roll had unlawful sexual intercourse with an underage girl. I would rewrite that and say, Roll raped an 8-year-old girl child.
I don't understand what the word molest means anymore. Because molest and rape is two different things, I would assume. How you can have sexual intercourse and you call it molestation?
Yeah.
Something wrong with that.
I don't know if it's the crime report itself that they are copying and pasting, but no 26-year-old man had unlawful sexual intercourse with an 8-year-old girl. It just did not happen. It did not happen. Dear Prime Minister, it's time to start to call for you to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Because ain't no 26-year-old man molested no 8-year-old girl and got charged with unlawful sexual intercourse.
Mm.
He raped her. She is 8 years old. Again, Roll had unlawful sexual intercourse with an underage girl sometime between January 2022 and December 2022. The defendant was informed that his matter would be transferred to the Supreme Court through a voluntary bill of indictment. Roll will be remanded to the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services until his VBI, voluntary bill of indictment, is served on December 5th. Again, this is a story, man accused of molesting 8-year-old girl.
Raping.
Because ain't nobody having unlawful sexual intercourse with 8-year-old girls. That 26-year-old man knew exactly what he was doing. And he knew exactly what an 8-year-old, a minor girl child, could have in her head. Just as we go, I want you all to understand why I talk about traffic so much. We are lawless people. And we don't care to understand what a stop sign is. An 8-year-old girl is a stop sign, clear and obvious. We gotta go. I gotta go. I'm gonna take a break. Before I go, I gotta say happy birthday, belated birthday to my good cousin, Karis Mitchell. I love you, cousin. I love you plenty. Please share your daddy with me for Halloween. I need candy. Happy birthday. Stay tuned.
Almost anything he collect the mail from off the mail, I understand. He even keep the jail all righty-dine.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.